Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Diving right back into it here on Fesco and Dusty. Mac Morey with you as well on 96.5 The Fan. You know, there's nothing better than an early season distraction. Adam Schefter tweeting this out about 25 minutes ago. Incoming Packers president and CEO Ed Policy isn't ready to offer a contract extension to Matt LaFleur and their GM Brian Gutekunst.
As Coons used to call it, Kudich. And so Billy Coons calls it Kudich. That's what we're going with. So, and I still to this day don't have any idea what the right pronunciation is.
Has Matt LaFleur deserved a contract extension?
Well, let me ask you this. This guy's first day on the job, and they're asking him about contract extensions, right? How the hell does he know what the feel in the organization is before he even gets in there and kind of, I don't know, gets the employee like paperwork filled out? They're already asking, are you going to extend Matt LaFleur? I don't even know the man. I haven't really met him or dealt with him or anything like that, right? Like, I don't know who this person is, let alone give him a contract extension. So I like that answer. Why should he walk in there and give somebody a contract extension who he's never worked with, especially maybe he has somebody else in mind? Or if things go south and Jordan Love doesn't perform well, I mean, like, maybe he doesn't get a contract. I have no problem. I think that's the right answer.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. You add context to it. He just got there, and he didn't say no. He just said, yeah, that makes sense. But, I mean, you got to extend the Matt LaFleur.
As I say, you've got a good one there, and really it's hard to find coach. The good ones in the NFL. Yeah.
But this is a guy who made Aaron Rodgers, like, play football again, and just play football. Like, none of the extracurricular BS that we've seen these last couple years. Like, LaFleur did that, like, in a Mike Tomlin-esque way, kept stuff in-house.
And he's part of that, like, frat pack, too, right? Like, McVay, all those guys, right?
Yeah. Yep.
O'Connell,
so get close but never achieve anything type of stuff.
McVay's got a title.
McVay does. He's the leader, right?
He's like the Belichick.
Does Shanahan have a title?
No,
but he's been to two.
Yeah, but I didn't have a title. LaFleur, no. Kevin O'Connell, not yet. So, I mean, I don't mind the guy saying that. I really don't. I'm like, let's see how this whole thing plays out, you know? This guy, obviously, I think he comes from San Francisco, and so maybe he knows somebody there that he has an eye on. Like, when somebody takes over an organization, they always have the need to make one of those big-time changes. And so we'll see if it's Kudich or, you know, Matt LaFleur. Maybe they both stay, and they win games, and everybody's happy, and you kind of move along. It's not like Green Bay's MO to go out there and be flashy, really, and make big moves like that kind of stuff. They stick with the same people forever, you know?
We will talk about the Chiefs GM here in about 7 or 8 minutes. But before we get into that, last night, I accidentally just stumbled upon this because 6 o'clock was kind of like a lull in the evening. I didn't know if it was going to start pouring, storming, doing whatever outside. Never did anything. But then again, it's like, I don't really want to watch the news. I got 30 more minutes till Wheel of Fortune. The Royals play at 7. The Stanley Cup was at 7. And I just happened to scroll through, and I saw that the Indiana Fever were on TV. Well, I'll stay there. Mm-hmm. I'll watch Caitlin Clark play. And then chaos happened last night in the WNBA. And I know there's a lot of you that have seen the videos, or I don't know how many people were watching it live, but, you know, as soon as I see it on Twitter and, you know, this JC girl goes and does the Captain Insano Shows No Mercy from Waterboy and pokes Caitlin Clark in the eye, she shows some frustration. She then goes and says something. Another girl from the other team pushes her down and just kind of showing the disrespect that these athletes in this sport give Caitlin Clark. And then by the grace of God, we had Sophie Cunningham come out of nowhere, and finally, we have somebody that has shown some fire around Caitlin Clark.
To defend her.
Correct. And I thought last night in the WNBA was an awakening, because everyone says that this sport solely moves the way Caitlin Clark moves, and they are not wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, you know, jealousy. It is only love disguised by hate. And you're seeing more people in this league outside of what Angel Reese has been doing with Caitlin Clark and their rivalry, which was you know, obviously born way before the professional league. It was born in collegiate levels with LSU versus Iowa in those, you know, back-to-back years in the tournament. And now she's got a dog on her team in Sophie Cunningham. By the way, M-I-Z. And then according to the text line, don't know how true this is, but it says fact, Sophie Cunningham was the youngest female to receive her black belt in Missouri. Rule number one, you control the head, you control the body. That's what you need to do, because that's what she
did. That's what she did. She grabbed her by the head and the shoulders and threw her down.
And I love this text because somebody says Royals could take lessons. I love this. Now, what I will say that I think where you can have this parallel with where Caitlin Clark was and has been treated like a dog in this league, where she is a superstar, she's brought life to this league, and everybody wants to squash it and be mad or jealous, whatever it may be. It's more than Angel Reese is one thing that I noticed from last night. It's more than just one person against Caitlin Clark. And now when we're not going to get referees getting involved, they're just going to let them play per se. We're going to let them just beat her up. Finally, Indiana had enough, and Sophie Cunningham was the person that came out of nowhere, grabbed the girl by the ears, pulled her down, and was ready for that action. You come at our superstar, we will find you, and we will retaliate. And they finally had enough, and they took it into their own hands. And I understand that when people saw that last night, they're like, okay, like, how many times is Caitlin Clark going to get beat up like this until somebody steps in? So far, we haven't seen a whole lot of it. And last night, we noticed that their team has had enough. And when you have a superstar in your sport like Caitlin Clark, it is on your own team first to protect her. Then it's up to the league to kind of say, hey, like, there's something going on here. Like, I'll be honest with you. Does Patrick Mahomes get a lot of calls? Of course he does.
Did Tom Brady get a lot of calls?
Of course he did. Peyton Manning, Dan Marino, Jim Kelly, John Elway. They all got them.
You want to have your stars healthy.
Right. And so then I started going through the internet and Twitter and all this stuff. And people in the local Kansas City area were like, man, I'd love to see the Royals do this. I promise you this. If a team were to come after Bobby Witt Jr., I bet you there'd be somebody on that team that would say, okay, that's enough. And that's not me throwing shade at Jonathan India for getting hit in the face and then getting slid into the shin by a dirty player and Contreras. But when you come after a superstar of your team, and not only that, the face of a league or a face of your franchise, you protect that person at all costs. So if there's anybody mad at Sophie Cunningham, I'd like to know why. Because eye gouges, thrown to the ground. Hey, ladies, guess what? This sport is building up clout because of this person that you continuously try to run through the mud. And I'm sorry to tell you this, but when LeBron and Steph are done playing basketball, Caitlin Clark will be the most popular basketball player in the United States.
I think she's trending that way already. I really do. I think she's going to pass those guys, even if they are still playing, because that's how popular she is. And that's what the folks in the WNBA, all of the other players in the WNBA need to know and need to understand. She is the reason you are making money. She is the reason people care. She is the reason people are paying attention. Mm-hmm. Stop trying to jack with her, you know, because you're only hurting yourself by doing that. Caitlin Clark is bigger than the league. And I'm not afraid to say that. There's no NFL player bigger than the NFL. There's no NBA player bigger than the NBA. There's no NHL player bigger than the NHL. And there's no baseball player bigger than the league. But Caitlin Clark at this point in time is bigger than the WNBA. The WNBA needs Caitlin Clark more than she needs the WNBA at this point in time. Without her, nobody's paying attention to this league. Nobody's paying attention to Sophie Cunningham. Nobody's paying attention to Angel Reese. Nobody's paying attention to anybody in that league without Caitlin Clark being part of it. The jealousy is disgusting that these girls have towards Caitlin Clark. I don't know. I mean, I don't even know that it was like this with Jordan. I don't know that it was like this with even Tiger Woods at this point in time. But this jealousy, this blatant jealousy and hatred toward the person who's put this league on the map, who's gotten these athletes private jets, who's giving them to be playing in bigger arenas, who's bringing crowds, who's selling merchandise, who's putting them on TV, who's bringing viewers to the TV to watch their games. She is the reason people are here. And these other WNBA players better start realizing that this is Caitlin Clark's league. This is Caitlin Clark's world. You're living in it. Be happy you're a piece in this world with Caitlin Clark and embrace it. And it will be good for everybody. Stop trying to go out there every single game and beat her up. That is a stupid way to look at it, because when she did miss games, how are your TV ratings?
Mm-hmm.
Who paid attention? Who cared? No one.
So you think the players playing physical and getting chippy is straight out of jealousy?
Absolutely, 100%.
Because I think obviously we've seen comments and quotes and things like that over the last year or so that obvious show display of jealousy, envy, and it's been deplorable. It's been bad for the league.
Yeah.
There's no doubt. I don't see that last night as girls being jealous or just hating Caitlin Clark. Those are her recognizing that she's much better than them, and those are the Jordan rules, per se.
Yeah.
With the Pistons. You said if this ever happened to Jordan? Yes, it's called the Jordan rules.
No, it
yes.
did, but like to the point where they're this jealousy stuff. I mean,
I just don't know if being physical is being jealous. Those girls think she's better than her, and they might be jealous in other ways.
They can't stop her, so now they're going to try to hurt her. I mean, that's literally what
happened to Michael Jordan.
That's what it comes down to. They can't stop her, so they're going to try to hurt her. And you know what happened? The rest of the NBA finally embraced Michael Jordan. He took that league to new heights. He saved the NBA. Caitlin Clark is saving the WNBA. Instead of going out there and I don't look at it as hard defense. I look at them as being jerks, quite honestly.
I think it's great for the league.
I think it's awesome.
I think it's
because
really
it shows that people are tired of, like, you know, them losing.
Yes.
Now I will
They're
say this.
Back.
I will say this. Beat her on the court. Don't beat her up on
right,
the court.
Right, exactly.
Is what I'm
Go
saying.
Beat her.
But now I will say, like, with Jordan, it was, I'll say this. With last night's foul, to me, was low blow. You don't, I mean, eye
yeah,
gouge, and it was,
gouge,
and it
was
clear.
Bad.
Or
now,
the girl who, like, chest bumps her and throws her to the floor,
right.
too.
I will say, like, Jordan would go up for a layup, and it was like, you got not Lambeer, which
they
is, like,
just throw
absolutely
you
throw you down. That, to me, is more so like, look, kid, like, you're going to have to earn this. That last night was a little cheap, and I love that Sophie Cunningham was the one that was like, all right, I'm done with this, because you're going to let this happen, then we're going to do it, too. And that's what the Bulls did. Eventually, the Bulls were like, this is Jordan.
You know what?
This is the face of the league. We're going to stand up to it, too. And what have we talked about all effing year with the NBA? Can we be more physical? Can we bring
exactly.
more attraction? What have I said all year long about the WWE and Paul Levesque? Bring that sort of script into sports, and look what we're doing. 10 minutes about what happened last night in one minute game in the WNBA. Why? Superstar action. That sells.
Absolutely,
and again,
it does.
You got Diana Taurasi talking smack about it. You got Brittany Griner talking smack about her. And they've done this. They've walked so that she could run. I totally get that. That's going to bring jealousy at times.
For sure.
But last night, let me know that the league is ready to go forward with what their face is and that they want to make her earn it. But also, her team's going to make sure that you earn it, because if you talk, we'll walk with you, and you better be ready for it. And Sophie Cunningham, man, that's a bad B right there.
And when did the NBA take off? When Jordan became Michael Jordan, after all of that kind of stuff stopped, right? And they stopped beating him up all the time. He finally beat the Pistons. They won that first championship, and it was on from there. And you know, early on, they beat him up, and they tried to send a message, and it just didn't work. Michael Jordan still went out there and kicked all of their asses. And that's what, you know, we're seeing with Caitlin Clark. She's head and shoulders better than anybody else on that floor. It's not even close. There's nobody even close to talented as Caitlin Clark is, and they know it right now. And
she's not the best player in the league.
What's that?
Caitlin Clark is not the best player in the league. I just want to be clear.
I disagree. I couldn't name another WNBA player.
That doesn't mean
player,
she,
right?
Yes, she's the most popular. She's not the best player in the league.
Well, nobody's
Asia Wilson is. I mean, just she.
But
is.
Nobody's Asia watching for her. She may be.
That's
the,
very true. Yeah. Different statement.
Okay,
completely
fine.
Agree.
Completely different topic. But
yes,
this league is not going to be driven
100%.
By Asia Wilson. It's driven by Caitlin Clark.
That's
and
it.
If Caitlin Clark's not part of this league, nobody cares about anybody else. So be careful what you wish for, because if Caitlin Clark eventually just goes, I'm done, the WNBA will be back to being what the WNBA was 2 years ago, where nobody paid attention to it.
Never heard of him.
Yeah, and I think the other Paige is there too, and that's the other one. Like, I forget how to say her. Paige Boudicker.
Paige Beckers.
Yeah, I think when she gets that arrival as well, then all of a sudden you get into like the next level of what the WNBA can be. Could that be Peyton and Brady? Could that be Mahomes and Allen? Could that be something that draws you to the attention? And then all of a sudden, you never know. You might have that as a, you know, matchup for the future. And then more girls will see these girls play and want to play in the sport, because there's now money in the league. There's now endorsements in the league that's now been taken care of. So, yes, I think last night was great for the WNBA.
I think it's fantastic. And I don't think it's going to be done. And I think Caitlin Clark, like, yeah, it's rough.
Does she need to throw punches too?
Well, she's asking for it a little bit. She's provoking. She's
walking too. She's talking. When
she's
hit the three and stuck her tongue out and high-fived the fans,
oh, yeah.
We can't underestimate that.
Or
and when Jordan does the count, like Jordan's at, when Mahomes did the count,
exactly.
Mahomes did the shrug.
They're provoking. They're poking at you. They're exactly.
Yeah, because they know they got you and they want to get you to just crumble.
Exactly.
You know?
And when that girl says, you can't do that, and Caitlin Clark says, I can do whatever I want. Okay,
I can
I'm pissed.
The F I want.
I can do whatever the F I want. All right, I'm pissed. Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go. I'm going to punch you. I'm going to push you. Like, I'm going to be really mad now. So that I think it's great for the NBA.
We got to figure out how to get Sophie Cunningham on the show. Mizzou, baby.
Let's do it.
Local athlete.
She's great.
Fantastic. I got roasted for my tweet. I said, Sophie Cunningham greater than Sydney Sweeney. Somebody says, please don't show up to work high ever again. Sober as a Jaybird. Got rules. So Albert Breer is in on the Chiefs offense because he said yesterday via Twitter or via on a show of some sort that this may be one of the better Chiefs offenses and they could actually go scorched earth again because he'll have a full receiver room. Like, he thinks this is going to be one of the better offenses that the Chiefs have had in years, and they could actually go on being better this year than they were last year when they were 15-2.
And I think they will be. I'm glad Albert's listening to the show because I think this is going to be the second best year. That I've been saying that for months now, that this league is going to see the second best Patrick Mahomes that we have seen since the 50 and 5,000. And it may be tough to always beat the 50 and 5,000, no question. But I think this is going to be the second best year that we have seen Patrick Mahomes take the field. So I'm glad Albert's listening. Thanks, Al.
Especially if everybody stays healthy like they didn't last year, the year before. Yep. You actually have trusted hands and trusted route runners that Patrick Mahomes can relax. The other thing that will help Patrick Mahomes relax, and we asked Jay Bingley about this earlier about the left tackle situation. Boy, if you've got a brick wall on that blind side, that makes everything that much better. That's, I think, another reason why people will say that this team could be better. They could be 13-4 next year and be better than they were this year, last year, what they were 15-2. And the reason I mean that is because of the production value. Mm-hmm. Like, they could put up numbers this year if everybody can stay healthy, big if in the NFL. But this was Ian Rappaport on the left tackle situation that we all talk about a lot here in Kansas
City.
To
me, they stand in a really, really good place. What the Kansas City Chiefs did was not just draft Simmons in the first round, and you're right, fell to them, and this is someone I think they really secretly had their eyes on the entire time. They were really happy with where he was medically coming back from that torn patella tendon. Not all teams were sure about this one. Chiefs were really happy with where he was. I think tried to keep it quiet because this is the player they wanted just because he's such an unbelievably talented tackle despite the injury. But they also don't want to rush him. So they're giving him some time off during the spring. They're making sure he has days to rehab and rehabilitate. They also signed Jalen Moore to come in and be their left tackle until whenever, basically until Simmons is ready, or maybe the entire year, or maybe Simmons starts out as the swing tackle. Most important thing for the Chiefs is they have talent there and they have depth there to not be caught short at one of the most important positions on the football field. And seeing the resources that they use to address this really underscores how important and essential they believe a good left tackle is.
Sounds like Brett Beachtown.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like Brett Beachtown. Did Brett Beach do it again? Well, everybody, he said the Chiefs really had their eye. Everybody had their eye on this guy, but nobody wanted to gamble.
Right.
Nobody wanted to be like, you know what? Detroit wanted to gamble with Jameson Williams, right?
Mm-hmm.
They took him after he blew his ACL in that title game, and he became a pretty damn good receiver. He just got to cool down a little bit. Guy can't be gambling.
Yeah, the off the field.
Can't be getting off the field.
Has he really done anything on the field yet, or is it all off the field news with this guy, right?
And Simmons, if he is there ahead of the rehab and all that sort of stuff, because Speck, you know, he had to go do some stuff at Arrowhead for the station and stuff like that. He goes, dude shook my hand, about broke it.
Yeah.
He goes, you remember when Cag shook your hand, Dusty? I said, yeah. He goes, he shook mine like my whole arm went numb. Yeah, he's a left tackle, Speck.
Woo.
He's got huge. He's a huge man.
We're also talking about Spector here, though. I think Mac broke his hand when he shook it the first time.
And I think that, when you look at this with the left tackle and the receiver room maybe better than he's ever had, there's reasons why people will say that this could be a scorched earth year for Patrick Mahomes. And don't forget, he got a new haircut.
Yeah, and it's also, I think this is Brett Veach's biggest gamble right now, because I don't think he's really gambled that much as a general manager, so to speak. Like, every move that he's made has been calculated, has been right, has been nails. This is a gamble because it's the left tackle position, and it's the most important position on the offensive line. As Binkley and I were talking earlier, and he said, look, we had three Pro Bowlers on this line, but it really wasn't a good offensive line last year. It all starts at that left tackle spot. And I'm like, yeah, it does. And so the gamble, I use the term gamble, is because you signed a backup and you drafted an injured guy. On paper, you look at that and you go, did they solve the left tackle position? And I think you say to yourself, jury's still out. We'll see when Jalen Moore, if he gets the opportunity to play a full season, what he can do. And we'll also see how healthy Josh Simmons really is and if the Chiefs made the right pick. If Josh Simmons starts from day one and becomes a stud at left tackle, it will be the steal of the draft. And everybody will be going, oh my God, Brett Veach has done it again. But as of this time, it's a little bit of a gamble. You got two left tackles, but you're not sure if you have one left tackle right now. You have two in numbers, but you're not sure if you have one left tackle. It'll all sort itself out. Brett gets the benefit of the doubt, but I think this is his biggest gamble. I'm trying to think of another one that he really rolled the dice on in a big-time gamble other than this one. Do you have any?
They announced Josh Simmons, offensive tackle from Ohio State.
I hate this pick, actually. Don't like it. Don't like it.
That's the best.
I love that man, by the way. I'm never going to let that one go.
I don't like it. I think you're right. I think you're right, Bob. Trying to think of it off the top of my head.
Off the top, you're like, what's the biggest gamble from a free agent signing to a draft or anything like that? This is a big, like drafting in the sixth round, right? That's not
that's not a
gamble. That's a sixth round draft pick. Drafting somebody in the seventh round, that's not a gamble.
That's low risk.
Is Tony considered a gamble?
Who?
Kadarius Tony a gamble?
No, because I mean it was low risk. They didn't pay him a lot of money. He was a former first round pick that they took a flyer on, and frankly had the best punt return we've ever seen in Super Bowl history.
Yeah, so and it paid off too, quite honestly.
So it kind of paid off.
It did. Yeah. We forget about that. We remember the idiotic plays.
A lot of his gambles are, you know, sign Hopkins to a cheap deal. Did it work out? No, but what was the risk? Okay, you lost a couple million dollars. Like Kadarius Toney, you didn't really lose.
He gambled
much.
Not signing LeJarius Sneed. That worked out.
That worked out. Well.
That was a gamble. Yeah. And I think part of the reason that Simmons is the biggest gamble is because this is the second most important position in football.
Well, and it's protecting your most important position in football. That's why it's the biggest gamble. If this was the right tackle or a defensive tackle, it'd be a different conversation. It's a big gamble because of who you got to fill the void and what that guy is supposed to do at that position. That guy's supposed to come in and be the healer of the offensive line, so to speak, and also protect Patrick Mahomes and allow Patrick Mahomes to play without anxiety.
I think Simmons is the starter from day one, and he mentioned him being the swing tackle. I think that is very much Jalen Moore is going to be the swing guy. He can play all four positions.
Yeah, awesome.
Exactly.
And that's perfect. That's wonderful, because if the guy on the other side, Juwan Taylor, you know, false starts 17 times and people want him out, who's still a very good football player.
Still is, yes.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Underrated, understated, underappreciated football player.
Nixon 5.
Right.
Like, how great is it going to be to see Mahomes? 1, 2, 3. Boom, there's my guy. It's either Worthy down the field, or it's Rice over 15 over the middle, or it's Hollywood Brown around the side, or it's Travis Kelce sitting there going, they keep covering these young guys. They forgot about me.
Look at me.
Hey, baby. How you doing?
No doubt about it. That's Jay Binkley, who...
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.